This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا تبارك وتعالى ويرضى الحمد لله كما ينبغي لجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we started going through the book الشمائل المحمدية by Imam At-Tirmidhi. And we started from the very first chapter, which is on the physical appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he physically looked. And we covered the first four ahadith. The first two ahadith were narrated by Anas ibn Malik, and the second two ahadith were narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib. And so now we move on to hadith number 5. This is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The next two ahadith are narrated by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And again, here we're talking about a companion who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a very, very long time, was with him personally, member of his household. Remember that even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet, he was living in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. Right after his grandfather passed away, he was in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. And so he saw Ali radiallahu anhu born and grew up in his own household. So Ali radiallahu anhu narrates. Now this hadith is graded by some scholars as being weak, as well as the next hadith, as we're going to see. However, when it comes to the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say first of all, some of the descriptions mentioned in these weak narrations have already been mentioned in authentic narrations. So there's nothing wrong with repeating them. They're already mentioned in authentic narrations. There's no contradiction, basically. And number two, when it comes to certain things like the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and like the shama'il, the description of how the Prophet ﷺ was and how he looked, the scholars, they say there's nothing wrong with narrating weak hadith because there are no rulings that are going to be derived from that. There's no halal or haram. There's no aqidah, beliefs that were going to be taken from these narrations. And that's why Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that when it comes to halal and haram, we would go tough. We would be very strict in what we would accept of narrations. But when it came to fada'il, virtues, and when it came to the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, events that took place, we would go soft. We would go soft and we would be flexible in terms of narrating, meaning weak hadith. So this hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل ولا بالقصير شثن الكفين والقدمين ضخم الكراديس ضخم الرأس طويل المسربة إذا مشى تكفأ تكفؤا كأنما ينحط من صبب لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ali radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not that tall, nor was he that short. And this description has already been mentioned in the previous narrations that we covered, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of medium height. He was of medium height. And then he says that his hands and his feet were sturdy. His hands and his feet were sturdy, meaning tough, not soft. And then he says that his joints were large. His joints were large. And his head was also slightly large. His head was slightly large. Now all of these descriptions are meant to give you an impression that the Prophet ﷺ was strong. He was fit, he was strong, and he had a strong build. Not that these, you know, descriptions are an image of someone huge, right? No, he didn't have a huge, massive head, nor were his joints huge and out of place. No, that's not what these descriptions mean. They mean that, basically, the opposite of being soft and weak, right? So when Ali radiallahu anhu is explaining this, he means to say that the Prophet ﷺ was not weak, he was not soft, but he was tough, and this is how this is how he explained it. And then he says, "طويل المسروبة." المسروبة is basically hair that starts from the top of the chest, going down in a line all the way down to the belly button. So the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't have hair all over his chest, but rather he had a straight line of hair going down from here down to his belly button. And then he explains how the Prophet ﷺ would walk. How he would walk. He says that he would walk step by step. He would walk step by step. كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ مِنْ صَبَبٍ. As if he's coming down from a slope, from an incline. He's declining downwards, as if he's coming down a mountain. And such a person, how does he come down? He comes down steadily, taking each step carefully. If someone coming down a slope goes too fast, he's going to fall down. And if he's too slow, he's not going to make it to where he wants to go. Right? So basically, he's explaining that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would walk the kind of walk of a sturdy, strong man, lifting each foot. So not like someone who is dragging his feet, not someone like, you know, someone lazy, dragging his feet, nor the opposite, someone who is arrogant and stomping his feet, but rather in between. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises his servants, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. And the servants of Ar-Rahman, Allah mentions several descriptions until the end of the surah. He starts with this description. The servants of Ar-Rahman, they walk in a state of humility on earth. In a state of humility. So not like people who are arrogant and proud. And then he says, I haven't seen anyone like him, not before nor after him. I haven't seen anyone before him nor after him like him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of his beauty, in terms of, you know, the appearance that he had. There has been no one that they have seen an example of, anyone like him. The next hadith, as we mentioned, is also the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu. This one is a bit longer. And so Ali radiallahu anhu, he narrates, one of the sons of Ali, he narrates from his father. He says, كان علي إذا وصف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل الممغط ولا بالقصير المتردد وكان ربعة من القوم. So let's take each part separately. He starts, the son of Ali, he says, Ali radiallahu anh, when he would describe the Prophet ﷺ to us, he would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not extremely tall. He was not extremely tall. Nor was he extremely short. The kind of shortness like you have people who are midgets, very, very short. Not like that. Nor very tall. But rather, he was of medium height. So basically, the Prophet ﷺ, he wouldn't stand out among a crowd of people, right? Because he's too tall. Nor was he too short, in the sense that you couldn't spot him. And it'll come in the next narration that he was just slightly taller than being completely of medium height. And then he says, لم يكن بالجعد القطط ولا بالسبط كان جعدا رجلا. Now he explains, he describes the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, and this description came in the previous narrations that we covered last week. He says, he didn't have extremely curly hair, nor completely straight hair. So the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not very curly, nor was it very straight. But rather, it was between the two. So what that means is that it was wavy. His hair was wavy. And then, And then he says, and we can also say that the hair of the Prophet ﷺ was not very thick, nor was it very soft. It was between the two. And then he says, لَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْمُطَهَّمِ وَلَا بِالْمُكَلْثَمِ. Here he describes how big the Prophet ﷺ was. He says he was not, he didn't have that much meat on his body, meaning he wasn't fat. And then he says, nor was he, in terms of his face, he describes his face, and he says, his face was not completely round. His face was not completely round. وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ. However, there was some roundness in his face, meaning that his face was not completely like a round circle, nor was it completely straight, like, you know, a straight face, a tall, skinny face. But there was some roundness to it. And then he describes the complexion of the Prophet ﷺ. أَبْيَضٌ مُشَرَّبٌ أَدْعَجْ الْعَيْنَيْنِ. He says that he was basically he was white with some redness. You know, if you have something that's white and you add redness to it, you get a color that is, you know, slightly brown. So what this means is that he was not pale white. Right? He wasn't pale white, nor was he very dark. But he describes him, he says here, أَبْيَضٌ مُشَرَّب. مُشَرَّب means something that has redness in it. And then he describes his eyes, أَدْعَجُ الْعَيْنَيْنِ. His eyes were black. The color of his eyes were black. أَهْدَبُ الْأَشْفَارِ. He describes his eyelashes, the eyelashes of the Prophet ﷺ. He says that they were long. He had long eyelashes. جَلِيلُ الْمُشَاشِ وَالْكَتِدِ. He says, describing his his shoulders, he says that his shoulders were wide apart, basically showing you a description of someone who is fit and strong. And then he says ajrad ذو مسروبة. Again, he describes the chest of the Prophet ﷺ. He says there was no hair, but there was this line going down, a line of hair going down from the top to the belly button. شَثْنُ الْكَفَّيْنِ وَالْقَدَمَيْنِ. Again, the same description mentioned in the previous narration. His hands and his feet were firm and strong. إِذَا مَشَى تَقَلَّعَ كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُّ فِي صَبَبٍ. Again, the same description of the way he would walk. When he would walk, as if he was coming down from an incline, walking in a sturdy way. وَإِذَا الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ مَعًا. When he would turn his entire body. So not like someone who, you know, he's always turning his head around, looking at things here and there. Always you see him turning his head around. No. The Prophet ﷺ would not do this. Instead, when he would turn to look at something, he would turn his entire body. And, you know, the purpose of this description is to show that he wasn't someone who would just always be looking around. And this description is going to come later. بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ خَاتَمَ النُّبُوَّةِ. وَهُوَ خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He says between his shoulder blades is the seal of prophethood. The seal of prophethood. And so that was basically, you could say similar to a birthmark, but there was hair on it. And that is what is known as the seal of the prophethood. Basically, Allah gave him this as a sign that he is the last of prophets and the last of messengers. And the next chapter, so this chapter is on the physical appearance of the Prophet ﷺ. The next chapter that Imam al-Tirmidhi mentions is specifically about this seal. He mentions all the narrations that describe the seal of prophethood. He says, Ali says, وَهُوَ خَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, and he is the seal of the prophets. أَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا وَأَصْدَقُ النَّاسِ لَهْجَةً وَأَلْيَنُهُمْ عَرِيكَةً وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِشْرَةً. He describes the, you know, manners and behavior of the Prophet ﷺ. And so he says that he was the most generous of people, and when he would speak, he would have the most truthful of speech and tone, and he was the softest, meaning his personality was the softest and the most easiest going, not like someone who is tough and, you know, always you know, upset and angry, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you, O Muhammad, were tough and strict and stringent, they would have all left you. Meaning, the companions, everyone would have, you know, left you by yourself. And he says, and he was the noblest and the best person to be around, to be in his company, to be in his company. And that's why the companions would always like to just be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in his company. You know, we have that famous story of when you know, one night the Prophet ﷺ invited the companions for a walima for one of his wives that he had recently married, and this was Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, about whom Allah revealed ayat in Surah Al-Ahzab. And so that night the companions stayed, you know, it's the Prophet ﷺ just got married, and he invited them for dinner, for a walima. And then afterwards, they just stayed on till it got very late. And the Prophet ﷺ was obviously disturbed by this. It was bothering him. You know, he just got married, and, you know, he wants to be with his wife, but these guys are not leaving, right? And the reason was because they enjoyed his company, as Ali radiallahu anhu says here. And then afterwards, three men remained, and Umar ibn Khattab came to them and said, you know what, it's better if we leave. It's better if we leave. Shortly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals an ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, basically criticizing the companion, saying that if you're invited to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have your food, stay, you know, for some time with him, and then that's it, leave. Leave. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says that was bothering the Prophet ﷺ, but he was too shy to say anything. But Allah is not shy from speaking the truth. After that, he says, مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَهُ وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ. He says that whoever sees the Prophet ﷺ for the first time, he'll have this, you know, esteem for him. You know, when certain people, when you meet them for the first time, you have this awe in your eyes for them, right? Other people, when you meet them for the first time, you know, they don't have that same persona, right? Perhaps because of the way they behave, the way they carry themselves, maybe they're joking around too much, right? But not with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He carried this esteem and this awe. The first time you look at him, you look at him and stand and look at him in high regard and hold him in high esteem. However, that would not cause a person to fear him. And that's why he says right after that, whoever then mixes with him for a while, he'll fall in love with him. Whoever stays with him, gets to know him very well, instead of looking at him from that angle of fear, he's gonna look at him from the angle of love. He's just gonna love him. And so, like, for example, you know, let's say a policeman or an army soldier or a king, when you look at them for the first time, you have that same awe, but then it remains because you fear them. But not with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يقول ناعته لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, whoever describes him says that I have not seen anyone before him nor after him like him صلى الله عليه وسلم. The next hadith is also a weak narration, but as we mentioned, we'll still go through it, and many of the descriptions are repetitive. And there are some added descriptions, but none of that has any effect on us going through these narrations, because in the end of the day, it just adds to the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most complete of men. He was the most complete of men in his physical appearance as well as in his behavior, in his morale, in his manners. This hadith is narrated by Hind ibn Abi Hala. And the one narrating it from this companion is Al-Hasan ibn Ali, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Hind ibn Abi Hala, what do we notice here? What do we notice here? Yeah, Hind. We know Hind to be a female name, right? However, the Arabs in the past, some names would be common among both men and women. And Hind is one of those. Hind is one of those. You know, just like even nowadays, certain names are used for both male and female. And who is Hind ibn Abi Hala?
What is the meaning of yes. the Hind? Meaning?
Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Yes, obviously, it is a country, but among the Arabs, Allah knows best. Yes, so Hind ibn Abi Hala was the son of Khadija radiallahu anha. He was the son of Khadija. However, that does not make him the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the son of Khadija from a previous marriage. So that would make him the stepson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His Rabib al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that would make him the stepbrother of Fatima, right? The stepbrother of Fatima, radiallahu anha. And that's why That's why Al-Hasan ibn Ali, the one narrating this, he says, I asked my khal. I asked my khal. Sa'altu khali. I asked my uncle about the description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, سَأَلْتُ خَالِي هِنْدْ ابْنْ أَبِي هَالَى وَكَانَ وَصَّافًا عَنْ حِيَّةِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم وَأَنَا أَشْتَهِي أَنْ يَصِفَ لِي مِنْهَا شَيْئًا أَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ. He says that I asked my khal, my uncle, my maternal uncle, Hind ibn Abi Hala, and he would really be very descriptive of whatever he would describe. He was someone who was known for being very descriptive and explaining in detail about anything he would describe. And this is based on two things. This is based on two things. Number one, having a strong perception that when you look at something, you observe it, and it falls into your memory, having a very strong observation. And number two, having a very eloquent way of expressing. Right? So someone can be very strong in observing things, but he doesn't know how to express it. Right? And the opposite. Someone can know how to express, he can be very eloquent in speech, but he hasn't observed something. So here we have someone who, saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observed him very well, and also knows how to express himself. And that's why this is perhaps the longest hadith in this book. He goes on describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فقال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فخما مفخما يتلألأ وجهه تلألؤ القمر ليلة البدر. He says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his build was very large, meaning his appearance was that of a strong, fit person. And his face would beam like the moon when it's full. His face would beam like the moon when it's full. And more than one person would describe the Prophet ﷺ comparing him to the moon. Because the Arabs, whenever they would want to describe the beauty of something and the radiance of something, they would compare it to the moon. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more beautiful than the moon. Why? Because the moon only appears as a full moon 3 to 4 days of the month, and then the rest of the time it's gone. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always in the appearance of the Sahaba. He says, أطول من المربوع. So now he describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being, in terms of his height, slightly taller than the medium person. So this is the wording that I mentioned. So other narrations mention the Prophet ﷺ was not too tall, nor was he too short. He was medium. And this one tells us that he was just slightly taller. But still, it doesn't mean he was very tall. وَأَقْصَرُ مِنَ الْمُشَذَّبْ. And he was shorter. He was shorter than a very tall person. Right? So he said he's slightly taller than the medium height, but then he says he was shorter than a tall person. And then he says, عظيم الهامة. He says that he was he had this very very large build. Very large build. Rajil al-Shi'r, Rajil al-Sha'r, his hair was wavy. So not, as we mentioned, not very curly nor very straight. إن انفرقت عقيقته فرقها. In terms of his hair, if it became very long, then he would split it in half. And this is something well known about the Prophet ﷺ, that when he would grow his hair very long, he would split it right down the middle. When he would comb it, he would split right down the middle. وَإِلَّا فَلَا يُجَاوِزُ شَعْرَهُ شَحْمَةَ أُذُنَيْهِ إِذَا هُوَ وَفَّرَهُ. He says otherwise, if his hair was, meaning if his hair was not short and it was long, it wouldn't go past the earlobes. It wouldn't go past the earlobes. But other narrations tell us that sometimes it would go down to the shoulders. So sometimes the Prophet ﷺ, when he would have long hair, he would let it grow to the earlobes. Other times he would let it go all the way to his shoulders, but not more than that. Not more than that. He says, أَزْهَرُ اللَّوْنِ, that his complexion was just like the previous description, white with some redness in it. So not pale white, nor very dark, but in between. وَاسِعُ الْجَبِينِ. What is al-jabin? And what is al-jabha? Then what is al-jabin? So the Arabs nowadays, they conflate the two. They think that they mean the same thing. However, al-jabha means the forehead, the middle of the forehead. And that's why when we say we're supposed to make sujood on our forehead, it is the jabha, meaning the middle of the forehead. And jabin refers to the sides of the forehead. It refers to the sides of the forehead. So he says the sides were wide. So basically, his forehead was wide. As azaj al-hawajib. What is al-hawajib? Earbrows. So he says his earbrows were curved like an arc. Like an arc. So his eyebrows were not straight, right? Slightly curved. Slightly curved. صوابغ في غير قرن. He describes the earbrows as being long, however, without coming together. So some people, their eyebrows, the hair, basically connects. The two eyebrows, they connect. There's hair all over, even in between the two eyebrows. He says, although his eyebrows were wide, long, they did not connect. في غير قرن. بينهما عرق يدره الغضب. Between his two eyebrows, there was a vein that when he would become angry, it would fill with blood. So when he would become angry, you would see this vein popping out, basically showing his anger in his face. But as we know, that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would never get angry for personal reasons. He would never get angry that someone transgressed his personal boundaries. However, he would get angry whenever someone transgresses against the boundaries of Allah. So only when it comes to the deen of Allah, he would get angry. Otherwise, he would not. He says, أقنى العرنيني. أقنى العرنيني. He describes his nose, that the nose of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "أَقْنَ الْعِرْنَيْنِ لَهُ نُورٌ يَعْلُوهُ يَحْسَبُهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَأَمَّلُهُ أَشَمْ." He says that his nose was a bit tall, a bit long. His nose was a bit long. And there would be radiance, you know, like light coming from it. And that's basically the light that would come from his face, the radiance. And this radiance and this illumination of the face, it's something that, you know, is even with the righteous believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is radiance that comes out from their faces, and that is all from the obedience to Allah and their iman. So if it is with regards to average, or if it is with regards to the righteous servants of Allah, then even more so the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that someone who doesn't observe him properly will think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his nose was skinny and, you know, soft. So he's saying, although his nose was a bit long, it was not skinny or soft. كَثُّ اللِّحْيَةِ سَهْلُ الْخَدَّيْنِ ضَلِيعَ الْفَمِّ. He says his beard was thick, and this is mentioned in many other narrations, and that his cheeks were soft, and his mouth was wide. Now, some of the scholars say what this means is actually, it was actually wide. Others say what this means is in terms of given the ability to speak. So the Prophet ﷺ was eloquent, and he had the best tongue in terms of speaking. So some scholars say that that is what it refers to. His cheeks, سَهْلُ الْخَدَّيْنِ, his cheeks were not very high. His cheeks were not very high, nor were they very too low, in between. He says, مُفْلِجُ الْأَسْنَانِ, between his teeth there was space. We're not talking about like huge space, a large space between the teeth, but just a slight space between the teeth. And this was considered the beauty of a person, when there would be that much like slight space between his teeth. And that's why there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ curses those women who do certain things, having attachments to their hair. And in that same narration it says, those who purposely put space in their teeth, meaning it's not natural, and they purposely make a way to put space between their teeth. He says, دقيق المسروبة. Again, that same description of there being a straight line going down in the middle of his chest, a line of hair. كَأَنَّ عُنُقَهُ جِيدُ دُمْيَةٍ فِي صَفَاءِ الْفِضَّةِ. As if his neck was, very bright, like the neck of a doll. مُعَتَدِلْ الْخَلْقِ, that he was moderate in his build and in his height. بَادِنٌ مُتَمَاسِكٌ, meaning that he had, you know, he was not too fat, but he was not too skinny at the same time. He had, there was some meat on his body, but not to the point where he was fat, or he had fat sticking out. As we're going to see in the next statement, he says, سَوَاءُ الْبَطْنِ وَالصَّدْرِ. سَوَاءُ الْبَطْنِ وَالصَّدْرِ. His chest would not come out while his stomach was in, nor would his stomach come out while his chest was in. Right? So he didn't have a belly, but rather, he was flat from his chest going down, all flat. And this shows again the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "عَرِيضُ الصَّدْرِ," very wide chest. He had a very wide chest. "بَعِيدُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ ضَخْمُ الْكَرَادِيسِ." He says that between his shoulders, he was very wide. There was a lot of space between his two shoulders, and his joints were strong. His joints were large and strong. And what that means is that his joints of his body were not out of place, right? They were not out of place, nor were they hidden where you couldn't see them. You know, they could easily be seen. He says, "Anwar al-mutajarrad," meaning that there was no hair on his body, meaning on his chest and his stomach. مَوْصُولٌ مَا بَيْنَ اللَّبَّةِ وَالسُّرَّةِ بِشَعْرٍ يَجْرِي كَالْخَطِّ. Okay, the same description of there being a straight line coming down from the chest all the way down to the belly button. He says, عَارِيَ الثَّدَّيْنِ وَالْبَطْنِ مِمَّا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. He says his chest and his stomach did not have any hair besides that. Just this one line going straight down. He says, أشعر الذراعين والمنكبين وأعالي الصدر. But he did have hair on his arms and on his shoulders and the top of his chest. And the top of his chest. طويل الزندين رحب الراحة شثن الكفين والقدمين. He says that his lower arms were long, and his hands and his feet were very strong. His hands and his feet were very strong. سائل الأطراف. Basically, سائل الأطراف, أو قال شائل الأطراف, meaning, you know, his fingers and his fingers and his feet, they would be slightly long. خمصان الأخمصين. خمصان الأخمصين. مسيح القدمين. He says that his feet were, first of all, he describes his feet as having an arc at the bottom of the foot. So you know how the bottom of your feet, there's an arc that doesn't touch the floor, right? But some people, it's straight. They don't have that arc. Some people, they don't have that arc. So he's saying the Prophet ﷺ had that arc, like most people. He would have that arc. And his feet were straight, meaning they were not too harsh, or, you know, they weren't too soft, right? But rather in between the two. He says, ينبو عنهما الماء. Basically, water can easily flow from his feet. So someone whose feet are like very scraped or, you know, very harsh in its complexion, the water stays. So he's saying the water easily flows off of his feet. إِذَا زَالَ زَالَ قَلَعًا يَخْطُو تَكَفُّيًا وَيَمْشِي هَوْنًا. He says, ذَرِيعَ الْمِشْيَةِ. He says, again, the same description of how the Prophet ﷺ would walk, that he would pick up every foot. He would take every foot, and he would walk sturdily, and he would walk in a humble way, as Allah described in the Quran. And his stride was long. So he wouldn't take short steps, he would take long steps. He would take long steps. But obviously, not so long that it appears he's running, right? But rather, in a way that shows how he would walk sturdily, right? And this method of walking shows you that the Prophet ﷺ was extremely strong. He was strong and well built. He says, إِذَا مَشَى كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطْ مِنْ صَبَبٍ وَإِذَا الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. The same description, when he would walk as if he's coming down a slope, and when he would turn his entire body. خَافِضُ الطَّرَفِ خَافِضُ الطَّرَفِ نَظَرُهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ نَظَرِهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ جُلَّ نَظَرُهُ الْمُلَاحَظَةِ. Now he talks about the sight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that he would lower his gaze. He would keep his gaze down most of the time. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him from looking at what is in the hands of the people. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِينَهُمْ فِيهِ. Allah says, and do not look at what we have granted them, the people, of the enjoyments of the dunya. That is a test for them. And so Allah forbade the Prophet ﷺ from looking around at what is in the hands of the people, of the luxuries of the dunya. And this is something that we should also, you know, pick up this habit of not always looking at, you know, what is in the hands of the people, or, you know, even you go out and, you know, you're looking at what is in the stores, and, you know, you end up basically becoming a victim of consumerism, which is exactly what these people want, where all you do is you look at things and you're impressed and you end up buying them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would keep his sight down, and when he would look, he would more often look to the ground than he would look to the sky. And he says, جُلَّ نَظَرَهُ الْمُلَاحَظَةِ. Most of the time when he would look just to see what he wants to look at. Right? So, for example, if someone is coming maybe to talk to him, he would look at him and that's it. He wouldn't just keep on staring at the person. That's what he means by this. The Prophet ﷺ would not stare at things or people. He would just look, take a glance, and that's it. Unlike some people who, they're always looking and then, you know, they look at people and they just start staring at them, or certain things and they just start staring at it. The Prophet ﷺ would not do that. يَسُوقُ أَصْحَابَهُ وَيَبْدَرُ مَنْ لَقِيَ بِالسَّلَامِ. He would be at the back of his companions. He would be basically leading his companions by being at the back. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ learned way before prophethood when he was a shepherd. And so the shepherd, he stays behind the flock to make sure that he's watching over them to make sure that they're out of danger. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ would do whenever he was with the companions, when they would go out on a journey, etc. He would remain at the back. And almost every prophet was a shepherd. And the reason for that is because Allah was training them to eventually take care of human beings. So how you take care of a flock of sheep is how you're going to take care of people. You're going to be soft with them, gentle with them. You're going to keep them out of danger. And this is one of the descriptions, that you're going to be behind them, watching over them. And he says, finally, and this is the last statement, he says, he would be the first to say salam, whoever he would meet. He would be the one who would start with salam whenever he would meet someone. And this is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he told us that the one who begins the salam, he gets more reward than the one responding to the salam. And so we'll stop here. There are a few more ahadith left in this chapter. And the rest are all short. The rest of the ahadith of this chapter are all short. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll cover them all next week, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.